Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Strang, and welcome to this live edition of the Strang Report on Tuesday, June 13th. Boy, do we have a lot going on today. We also have a change of plans because I had intended to interview none other than Mario Murillo today. I actually was going to interview him last Thursday, but ended up doing a tribute to Pat Robertson, who recently passed away. And also, I will be attending his funeral next week. I'm not sure exactly what's appropriate to report on a funeral. I know that CBN will, but he was a great man of God, and undoubtedly I'll opine about it. But Mario moved it till today. No big deal. These things happen. And then today, at his location up in Tennessee, they are without internet access. The electricity's out or something like that. So there was nothing we could do but to change it to Thursday, which we'll do. And I plan to talk to him about what he sees going on in the nation. He is a prophetic voice. We'll also talk to him about some of the things that I wrote about him in my book, Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World, which released not quite a month ago. I'm going to be interviewing other people. Greg Locke has agreed to come on. There's some other interviews that we'll do. But meanwhile, I'm trying to keep up with the news to keep you informed. In some ways, we've been doing this since the 1970s when Charisma Magazine first started. Of course, that was long before the days of the internet. That was long before the days of cable news. Christian television was in its infancy, and there was, and today CBN, which was the first, and they've evolved over the years. They now have CBN News, and they do a very good job on a daily basis on the 700 Club and in other ways online of letting people know what's going on. Back then, there wasn't much other than Charisma, one or two other magazines, which have kind of gone by the wayside. There are a few newspapers that have kind of gone by the wayside. There are some denominational magazines that would report on what's going on in their denomination. But in terms of reporting what was going on in the Spirit-filled community, a lot of it was just Charisma. Now, there were some evangelical magazines that acted as if charismatics and evangelicals didn't exist in the same way that they might pretend, at least in their coverage, that other religions or the Catholic denomination or something like that don't exist. I mean, there was just a vacuum in coverage. I don't say that critically. I say what it was like. In fact, in some ways, we had the early version of cancel culture, where there were parts of the church that canceled other parts of the church, mainly charismatics and Pentecostals. And this was probably much more true even back before my lifetime, where Pentecostals were considered on the other side of the railroad track. They were kind of looked down on. They were uneducated. Over the years, they formed colleges. The leaders were mature leaders who often spoke up on issues, and they were accepted by other evangelicals. And then as many of the evangelicals have kind of gone woke, so to speak, or very, very liberal, and don't preach the word of God, a lot of those people have migrated over to the many, you know, what we would call spirit-filled or spirit-led churches, where they strongly proclaim the word. Now, this is not true in all cases, and I'm not saying one side's right, one side's wrong. I'm just giving you my perspective and my observation. Over the years, as the internet came, we have tried to fill a gap in reporting. And if you watch the news, and there's a lot in the news, which I'm going to comment on in just a minute, and a lot of it's very, very bad, we see that the media, the secular media, has become more and more and more liberal and more hostile to all conservative views, which would include those of us who have conservative Christian views about the Holy Spirit and so forth. And when there is an alternative conservative media rising up, Blaze TV would be an example, Dennis Prager and everything he does, Mark Levin, Daily Wire is doing one of the best jobs, I believe, but there's also Breitbart, there's Western Journal, which is doing a great job Floyd Brown, the owner, is a personal friend of mine. But rarely do these people talk about things in spiritual terms. That's just not part of the discussion. But to some extent, that has been the situation for many, many years, even when I was a young journalist. And journalism wasn't nearly as biased as it is now. It paid very little attention to religion. Usually on Saturday, they would have a religion page that's leading up till Sunday. And the churches would put in ads, which kind of paid for it. I don't even think the newspapers do that anymore. I actually graduated from the University of Florida with a journalism degree and a double minor in psychology and religion. And I actually didn't intend to minor in either one of them, but the rules at the University of Florida was you had to have so many hours in a certain discipline to get a minor. I just happened to have enough hours in religion and psychology to get a minor. And so I was actually offered a job at what was then the St. Pete Times. Now it's called the Tampa Bay Times, one of the most liberal newspapers of Florida, even back then. They offered me a job to be the religion reporter. I didn't even consider it because I sort of knew the rules. I knew that there was a certain way they covered. It was kind of an arm's length kind of thing. Even if they wrote a nice article on someone who was coming up, maybe some ministry that was developing that they hadn't heard of before, and people were interested, they would always, in fact, they had their go-to critics that they could go to get a critical comment to kind of balance it out. So it's like, you know, it's like balance. It's not all, somebody says if you put one foot in a pail of boiling water and the other in a foot of ice water, on balance or on average, you are not comfortable. And so it is in dealing with truth. Just because you have two extremes does not mean that the truth is in the middle. I'm just explaining that in a very different era, I saw this. In fact, when Jimmy Carter, who when he first appeared on the national scene as the governor of Georgia, he was a Southern Baptist. He taught Sunday school for many years in Plains, Georgia. The media made a big deal about that. And of course, he told people he was born again, which was not something talked about very often. The term was not that common, but suddenly it was part of the national lexicon. And of course, sadly, President Carter has become more and more and more and more liberal. He is now in hospice at the point of death. I don't mean to criticize him, but I'm just stating the facts. But back then, it was odd for a politician to even talk about being born again. In fact, this is maybe a good place to tell you some sad news that I learned just a couple of days, and it has to do with James Watt, who was Secretary of the Interior under Ronald Reagan. And I don't have a copy of it. I didn't bring it into the studio, but he was actually on the cover. He and his wife, Leilani, were on the cover of Charisma magazine back in the 80s. And we just got news that he passed away. He actually passed away around Memorial Day, and the family only released it nationally. Apparently, they just wanted to have a private memorial because there were people who hated him. And I'm just speculating that maybe some of them would have disrupted his funeral or something. But James Watt was from Jackson Hole, Wyoming, which is a beautiful place. In fact, I had the opportunity to visit him there one time when I was on vacation. Over the years, I had interaction with him several times and considered him a friend. And I'm sorry to see him go. But back in the day, he was, well, first of all, he was an attorney. He held several different positions. He, of course, is from the West. He was known to be interested in the environment and so forth. And Ronald Reagan tapped him to be Secretary of the Interior. And I'll tell you an interesting story about him in just a minute. But he was the first Pentecostal, as far as I know, to ever serve in a cabinet-level position. Since then, John Ashcroft, who is now a professor at Regent University, but He was the attorney general and later governor in the state of Missouri. And then he went on to serve in the U.S. Senate. He lost a rerun, and it was a very odd situation. I hope I can remember all. He was ahead. He was the incumbent. But his Democratic opponent was killed in a plane crash in a small plane going while he was campaigning. And, of course, it was a great tragedy. His, you know, he was dead. And so the governor of Missouri appointed a replacement, as they often do. And in those kind of situations, there has been precedent where the widow, especially if she's involved at all in public life, is put in. So his widow was put in and won a narrow election. And John Ashcroft, of course, was no longer in the U.S. Senate. And George W. Bush tapped him to be attorney general. He was a very good attorney general, a far cry from what we see now in the Biden administration. That's a discussion for another day. But he was literally the attorney general on 9/11. And he provided great leadership. But the reason I'm saying is that James Watt was, he was Assemblies of God background. I don't know that, you know, in fact, I've had this discussion with Assemblies of God ministers on how are you Assemblies of God? You know, most people are not ordained, which would be clear. If you attend an Assemblies of God, does that make you Assemblies of God? And if you, you know, I know some people that were raised that tradition and now they go to a non-denominational church. You know, where does all that stand? And I guess it's not just Assemblies of God, but any denomination. But I just gave that disclaimer that I don't know that he was lifelong, but that was his background. And when he was in Orlando on business for the government, he attended one of the local assemblies and he commented to the pastor that he read Charisma. And the pastor called me up next day or so. I did not attend that church and was all excited. James Watt said he reads Charisma. Well, of course, I knew who he was. We went through the circulation records and we found a record for Mrs. Watt. I think it was like on Embassy Row in Washington, D.C., and we thought, that's probably it. So I wrote her a letter, and I said, Dear Mrs. Watt, we understand that, or we believe that you're married to James Watt, and we would like to get an interview. We've tried to go through the press office or whatever they call it, and we haven't been able to get through, and could you open a door for us? And a day or two later, because these were the days before email, so everything went by U.S. mail. We got a call from Secretary Watt himself, and we set up an interview. I flew up to Washington. I had to get all this clearance. It was very interesting. I interviewed them, did an article in Charisma. And in fact, in the footnotes to this, we will put a link to that article. I think you'll find it interesting to read. He was a great man. In my opinion, he was a caring man. He cared about the environment. And but, you know, there were the beginnings of the crazy environmentalists. We all care for the environment. We do not want smoggy cities. We do not want lakes. Like when I was a young person, I remember they could set Lake Erie on fire because there was so much oil in it, or maybe it was an oil slick or something, and the fish died and everything else, because of the pollution that factories were putting into the rivers that went into Lake Erie. And we had a similar situation down here in Lake Apopka, near where I lived. It was horrible pollution, and that has been pretty much cleared up. Listen, when I was in college, it was illegal in the state of Florida to even own anything of alligator skin because they were endangered. And it was because of DDT that was ruining their eggs and the little alligators wouldn't hatch. And that's all been cleared up enough now that they actually have hunting season for, they have two different hunting seasons for 2 weeks each in September. And it's because there are too many alligators and it is no longer illegal to own anything made of alligator in the state of Florida. So yes, we're glad that things have improved. America, listen, I've been to communist China. It was a number of years ago, and the pollution, that was the thing that shocked me the most. was the amount of pollution that I saw in China. The United States, I believe, is very good. Yet there are people who, we have different names, tree huggers, and, you know, they've held up projects because of some insect or small reptile that I would consider to be almost inconsequential. But these species kind of come and go over time, and we need to do what we can, but sometimes I think it's almost a hardship. So anyway, the reason I'm saying it is that Eric Watt is actually his son. I had a slip of the tongue. James Watt, because he was a Pentecostal, believed in the second coming, and they tried to make it sound that because he believed in the second coming, it meant that all the Christians or all the people serving God or whatever would be taken up out of here so we could pollute and rape the environment and not care about it. James Watt never said that. Never, never, never. In fact, he was very careful on how they took care of the timberlands and the waters, you know, the offshore drilling and all that kind of stuff came through the Secretary of the Interior. I'll tell one other story about James Watt, and I hadn't really intended to give him a tribute, but I think it's appropriate that I did because his passing was little documented. And I've used this example a lot over my career, and he told me this himself. He served under Ronald Reagan. They had a real mess when they came in. I was just getting started when Jimmy Carter was president. We had, if I remember correctly, we had 18% inflation. Interest rates were 22%. Prime was 20%. My wife and I in that era got a mortgage on one of the first homes. In fact, it was the second home we owned. We got the mortgage from the seller for 12% interest, and we thought we got a really great deal. And we could have not imagined the very low interest rates that there are now. And inflation, we're having bad inflation now, but it's nothing like it was under the Carter administration. And so he got a real mess. Also, the military, after the Vietnam War, had kind of gone down. And it was just a mess. So Ronald Reagan had a goal, and that was to end communism. Back in that era, we thought we'd have to live with communism our entire lives. I mean, we couldn't even imagine communism ending. I grew up in the Cold War. We used to have raids where they would do a siren and we would have to crouch under our desks as if that would do any good. I couldn't believe it. And so Ronald Reagan had a goal to get rid of communism. To get rid of communism, he had to have a strong military. To have a strong military, they had to have a strong economy. In order to have a strong economy, they had to steward the resources of the country that would be in terms of fishing, oil rights, timber, grazing, all of those kinds of things. So James Watt said that was his responsibility. He had to steward the resources of the United States. That would include working with private industry. And so he knew he had to do his part in order for the economy to turn around, which it did, to strengthen the military. In fact, there was a thing they used to call Star Wars. Of course, that's a famous movie, but it was where they could like shoot down the Russian missiles from space before they ever got over here. And really, it was the Russians who really were not as strong as we thought they were. They knew we were stronger. They knew that Ronald Reagan would really defend the United States. This whole thing that they used to call detente, which means that and mutually ensured destruction, which either both sides knew that if they started a war, both sides would be destroyed. And perhaps that was a deterrent. We lived through that era. But it's just very interesting. And now that I'm talking about James Watt, I wanted to mention that. And each of us can understand that in our own lives, or in our businesses or in our ministries, there are things that we have to do in order to accomplish something else in order to accomplish God's will in our life. And I will just leave it there. For right now, I want to talk about some of the things that are happening in the news. The number one news today, the 13th, is that President Donald Trump, former President Trump, is being arraigned. He's being arraigned for something that I think is extremely minor. He took to his home in Mar-a-Lago some documents that he had declassified. The president is the only one who can declassify. The National Archives wanted them. He apparently would not give them back. And so they raided him and found some more documents that they didn't know about. They have now indicted him. These things are usually handled behind the scenes. They negotiate something. They surrender the documents. There are people that are doing everything they can, everything, to try to keep Donald Trump from running. Meanwhile, it's well known that Joe Biden, while he was a senator, had documents in his library at the University of Delaware. And if I remember correctly, there was also something at the University of Pennsylvania. There were classified documents there. Apparently, Hunter Biden had access to some of them. I mean, in my opinion, it is far, far greater. There has not been any charges at all with President Biden. And of course, we know that with Hunter Biden's laptop, and there is a great deal of evidence, I guess you'd call, or at least indication, that there was pay to play. And while President Biden may not have gotten a bribe, there was certainly influence peddling. His brother, other family members, Hunter, Joe himself, who's been a public servant since he was in his 20s. And while they're well paid by middle class standards, they are not wealthy, and he's become wealthy. So explain that. And nobody even looks into it. There is such a double standard. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but we need to pray, because there are principalities and powers, and it is serious. If they come for Donald Trump, they're going to come for all of us. And I don't have time to go into it today, but all this transgender stuff, all these other things, these things are anti-God, you know. And the thing is with Donald Trump, one thing that you have to say about him is that he defended our Christian rights. You may question his Christianity. I personally believe that he's accepted the Lord. But when he said that he would get rid of abortion by, and literally, we did not get rid of abortion. We got rid of Roe v. Wade by appointing certain judges. He did that. When he said he would move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, the United States embassy, he did that. And there were many other things that he did. He invited Christian leaders into the White House. He prayed with them. He defended us. But I find a lot of Christians, it's like, you know, we don't like the other side, but we don't like Donald Trump's tweets. You know, I don't know how the man stands up to him. I'm not personally offended by his tweets. In fact, I'm glad he has a backbone. But I believe, and this is not an endorsement of the president, in due time, I will do what I think is right. But I think that we don't have any option but to back him. If the deep state can get rid of get a president off the scene, out of the election, or if they can get him discouraged to give up, to me, this is about the equivalent of jaywalking and getting put in prison because of it. It is just absolutely ridiculous. And I've heard Charlie Kirk and others speak up, and I wanted to speak up for whatever influence I have. And also this, from a spiritual point of view, we need to pray, okay? The country club Republicans may be upset about this, but they mostly are not praying people. We need to pray. We need to pray and pull down the strongholds and the principalities and powers. We need to pray that Donald Trump will be exonerated, and we need to pray that we get justice back in this country. It is the FBI and the Department of Justice and the Attorney General. They have weaponized our judicial system to punish their opponents. It's almost as bad as a banana republic. And I never thought I would even be saying these words. but it is scary what's happening. Listen, I love America and we have respect for our institutions. The erosion has been going on for years. I could give stories of where I saw some of this happening in the early days of my journalism career, but it's becoming more and more and more blatant. I live in the state of Florida. I saw a t-shirt lately that said, "Make America Florida," instead of "Make America Great." I believe in that. I like Ron DeSantis. I had occasion to meet him just a couple of weeks ago. I am not endorsing him, but, and I'm, listen, I think that the Republican Party has, I think that Tim Scott and some of the others, Nikki Haley would make great presidents. And thankfully, they're all fairly young and hopefully they'll be a good bullpen for a number of years. But right now, we need, regardless of what you thought about January 6th, and I wrote a couple of books about this. I wrote God and Donald Trump because prophets of God, and I document it, Chuck Pierce, Kim Clement, prophesied that God would raise up someone like Donald Trump, who against all odds was elected. And I felt that the story needed to be documented, and that's why I wrote that book. And it gave me many open doors, which I've talked about before. I was on a bunch of shows, and I was able to speak up that the prophetic is real and that it happens. Often it's hard to document the before and after. In fact, in my book, Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World, I go into this in some depth and even mention, it doesn't center on this, but when I talk about prophecy, I tell this story again. By the way, I'd like you to go on Amazon.com or you can come to my own website, SteveStrangBooks.com, and order this book. I found out today we got a big order from Amazon. I'm happy to say that because the book is starting to sell. I'm getting interest from churches around the country that want to use it as a study guide. But I believe that this is an important book. I'll be doing some other podcasts about it. I'll be doing some interviews about it. I'd like you to also subscribe to The Strang Report on YouTube and Rumble and your favorite podcast player. If there's a little bell for you to get notified, hit that. You need to sign up for my Strang Report newsletter, which is delivered to your inbox every Tuesday. In fact, I need to go and check out today's edition. And you go to SteveStrangBooks.com. We put a link there so you can get it and sign up at the bottom of the page. That helps us, and you'll be able to stay in tune, touch. I'm trying to build my newsletter, trying to build my podcast, and you're helping us. We need the Christian perspective out there, not just the conservative political view. And I know there are a lot of Christians speaking up, and we try to give those people platforms. I've been doing that my entire career, but we need your support to do this. This isn't just my podcast, but it's my way to minister to you like I've been doing for 48 years. Thank you for watching. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for subscribing. Pray for us. We are being attacked in many ways. We need your prayers. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on YouTube and Rumble, as well as your favorite podcast app at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing to the newsletter at strangreport.com. In an upside-down world, there is only one way to stay grounded. Life is full of twists and turns, successes and setbacks. How can you reach your God-given potential and achieve your dreams? With over four decades of reporting on the move of the Holy Spirit around the world, Stephen E. Strang has firsthand experience of how the Holy Spirit has led him on a remarkable journey of faith and a successful life. In his new book, Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World, he will invest his true life lessons into the hearts of readers as he reveals his secrets to having a successful life led by the Holy Spirit. Go to booksbystevestrang.com to pre-order your copy today.